Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, gives us attentive ears today to hear what you may want to say to us, and obedient hearts to follow where you may want to lead us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, my friends, our passage today from John chapter 8 gives us an account which took place in the temple of Jerusalem during a very important Jewish festival known as the Feast of the Tabernacles, a festival that remembers God's provision during Israel's 40 years in the wilderness. And you know, one of the most spectacular sights at this festival has to be the four gigantic candelabras located at the courts of the women, which were lighted throughout the whole duration of the festival. Now, here's a picture of how it probably looked like at night. And you can see, you know, how the brilliance of the light illuminated the entire temple and beyond. What a spectacular sight indeed. And my friends, it was at this particular spot where those candelabras were that Jesus made this astonishing announcement in verse 12, John chapter 8, verse 12, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Now, for those who were with Jesus at that moment, this announcement must have captured their attention even more than that spectacular illumination of the temple. And this is likely the case, firstly, because Jesus was not just claiming to be the light of Jerusalem or the light of Judea, but he was making a very bold claim that he is the light of the world. He is like the sun with such incomparable brilliance. Now, secondly, and more significantly, it is because Jesus was claiming to be the Messiah. You know, the use of light to symbolize the coming Messiah was something that the Jews would have been very familiar with because it has been mentioned in the Old Testament prophecies. One of the most familiar ones is from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, which says this: "The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone." And besides this, the Feast of Tabernacles also carried a very significant reminder of God's promise to send the Messiah who will one day deliver his people from all their oppression. And that is why on the final day of this feast, the high priest would always pray this prayer: "God in heaven, send your Messiah soon, and in our days, we cry out for our Messiah now." And you know, it was during or around that same time when Jesus also announced that he is the light of the world. He is the Messiah. And my friends, this incomparable brilliance of Jesus, the Messiah, it can light up not just the way out of that physical oppression which the Jews were facing during the Roman occupation, not just the way out of all the problems that we may face in this world, including this current pandemic that the whole world is still struggling with, but this incomparable brilliance of Jesus, the Messiah, has come to light up the way out of the greatest oppression or darkness that all of mankind is facing. And that has to do with sin and its consequence of eternal darkness and condemnation. Jesus came to show us the way out of the terrible darkness of sin and death, and the way to the glorious life with God in eternity. And you know, in John chapter 8, verse 14, Jesus says this, "For I know where I came from and where I am going." Jesus was very sure of the way to that glorious destination because that is also his place of residence. And for those who would follow Jesus, they too can be very sure that his light will lead them there. And you know, this awesome light of Jesus is not only able to show us the way to that glorious destination, but it is also revealing to us each day how we no longer need to live in darkness as prisoners to sin, but we can live in the fullness of God as God's beloved children. And that is why up to this moment, Jesus has revealed himself as the living water, the bread of life, the one who baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. Jesus has revealed himself as the one who can sustain us in every aspect of our lives, the one who can satisfy us completely. Jesus is everything we need in life. And my friends, this truth remains the same today, even after 2,000 years, after all that Jesus has said and done. Jesus remains as the light of the world today, the most spectacular, the most brilliant, the most important light that every person in the world needs. However, not everyone will be captivated or even be aware of this glorious light of the world. And how is that possible? Well, a story was told of a man who attended an outdoor evangelistic talk at a public park. Right after the preacher was done, this man shouted, "They say there is a God, but I don't see him. They say there is a heaven, but I don't see it. They say there is a hell, but I don't see it." When he was done talking, he won cheap applause from the crowd. Now another individual came out and said, "They tell me that I'm speaking to a crowd, but I don't see you. They say there are trees all around, but I don't see them. They say there is a sun shining down so brightly on us, but I don't see it. And the reason is, I'm blind." My friends, the only reason why anyone will not even be aware that the light of the world has come is because of spiritual blindness. And this is what has happened to the Pharisees in our passage today when they came face to face with the light of the world. Just look at their response in verse 13. They showed no interest at all concerning Jesus' claim as the light of the world. Instead, all that they cared about was what the law has stipulated concerning the validity of a person's testimony. In fact, you know, it was their own human interpretation of the law that has led them to such nonchalant response to Jesus. Now in verse 15, Jesus also pointed out that the Pharisees have judged him according to the flesh. And this reveals further how the Pharisees' response to Jesus was a result of their dependency on their human perception, their worldly principles, their carnal prejudice. And they ignored Jesus' claim because they thought they knew better than anyone else. Their own finite human wisdom and their pride have blinded them from noticing the light of the world, or even from noticing all the miracles that Jesus has done and all the amazing truths that he has taught. And my friends, many people in the world today are suffering from such spiritual blindness caused by the self-reliance on human wisdom and accomplishment. And it has basically blinded them from the truth of everything. The truth concerning morality, sexuality, identity. The truth concerning their purpose in life and our human frailty. The truth concerning our real human condition. The fact that many are still living in blindness, in this terrible darkness. And the truth that all of us are desperately in need for the light of the world. And honestly, Christians may also be suffering from a form of such spiritual blindness. We could easily say that we know the Lord and we love Him and we worship Him, but still suffer from spiritual blindness all this while. And there are a number of scriptures that warns us of this possibility. For example, our first reading today from 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, we may be blinded from our true spiritual condition and be deceived to think that we have fellowship with God when we are actually still walking in darkness. Now, this warning gets even clearer in 1 John chapter 2, verse 9 and 11. Let me read to you verse 9. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. And then verse 11. Whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. And my dear friends, the cause of our spiritual darkness or spiritual blindness is the same as what has been mentioned earlier. It has to do with our finite human wisdom and accomplishment, especially in relation to how much we think we know about God and how much we think we have been doing for God. You know, back in John chapter 8, verse 19, what was Jesus' response to the Pharisees, to those who thought that they knew everything about God and have done so much for God? Jesus answered in verse 19, "You know neither me nor my Father." Now here is R.C. Rao's comment on this verse. He said, "Let it be noted that great familiarity with the letter of Scripture is perfectly compatible with gross spiritual darkness. The Pharisees knew the Old Testament prophecies well, but they neither knew God nor Christ." Now, this doesn't mean that knowing the Scripture is not important at all. But just by knowing the Scriptures alone does not mean that we have a personal relationship with God or that we are in the light. Similarly, just by attending service or serving actively in church may not necessarily mean that we are truly walking in the light. So, my friends, perhaps there is a need for us today to examine our own lives once again. Have we actually been blinded from realizing our true spiritual condition today? Have we been blinded from recognizing our need for the light of the world to shine over every aspect of our lives each day? And do we need to deal with our pride that has been feeding on how much we think we know about God and how much we think we are doing for God? Because, my friends, this pride can so often blind us from acknowledging our desperate need for the light of the world in our lives each day. This pride can even blind us right now from seeing what the Lord really wants to reveal to us from our passage today. And the only way you and I can deal with our pride and spiritual blindness today is to humble ourselves before the Lord in penitence and to cry out to God that in His grace and mercy, He would heal us and He would restore our spiritual sight today. Now, besides this important warning concerning our spiritual blindness, our passage today is also calling us to take action concerning our response to Jesus' claim as the light of the world. It's calling us not only to just observe this glorious light from a distance, but it's calling us to follow the light. Just like how the Israelites were called by God to follow the pillar of fire so that they might reach the promised land, we too must follow the light of the world in order for us to reach that glorious destination upon Jesus' return. And this call to follow Jesus is more than just moving around with our feet. For the Israelites in the wilderness and for us today, this call to follow must also involve firstly an ongoing trust in Jesus more than in our human wisdom and accomplishment. Trusting in Jesus even when we are stuck in a wilderness or when the destination is still out of sight. Trusting in Jesus in times of need, in times of uncertainty, in times of unending trials. And secondly, it must also involve an ongoing obedience to the Lord. An ongoing obedience to pursue what is true and right in the eyes of God rather than in the eyes of the world. Obedience when Jesus lights up those corners in our hearts where sin may be hidden and Jesus showing us the way to repentance. And also an ongoing obedience to live a life that is set apart for the Lord so that His light may shine through us in this world so filled with darkness. You know, in verse 12, Jesus says that whoever follows Him will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. It's amazing, you know, that as we follow Jesus, we are given this awesome privilege to be bearers of this glorious light of Jesus that brings life to all. In a way, we become little lights of the world that point others away from darkness and towards Jesus and to the great news of salvation and hope that only Jesus can provide. In fact, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, this is what Jesus says about those who would follow Him. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." You know, recently a sister shared with me about the heartache and helplessness of many Indians in Singapore who have relatives in India passing away or badly affected by the pandemic. On a separate occasion, a brother also shared about how he got a chance to share the gospel with two persons and both gave their life to the Lord. And one of them was a Grab driver, and it happened during the car ride. Now, this sharing became a timely reminder as I was preparing for this sermon that there are so many people around us today who are still in darkness and without hope. And each one of them needs someone who has the light of life to point them to the light of the world. So my friends, as followers of Christ who have in us this amazing light of life, let us consider how we may shine the light of Christ to those who may be in need of hope or who are still in darkness without Christ. Well, it could be someone at your workplace, your school, your neighborhood, or even someone whom we may just cross paths with. And especially with all that is happening around the world today, may our light shine even brighter before men and women so that they may be captivated and be saved and be transformed by Jesus, the light of the world. Amen.